Welcome everybody to the third shiur on Tchilas V'Zmanenu. In the last shiur we started on the simonim of Tchilas that Chazal bring down. And now we're going to go through the simonim of the Chilazim that Chazal speak about the Chilazim. And this time we should go on to the Murex and then to the other proofs. So just to sum up what we said in the last shiur. So we spoke about the Chilazim being specifically in the Mediterranean. It's a Mediterranean species. That Chilas is a blue dye. It's a dye which dye is the color blue. That the Chilas is the same color as indigo. Again, it doesn't mean that all Chilas has to be indigo. The same color as indigo. Indigo has a specific hue of blue. It's a specific type of blue. There are various levels, many, many shades of the indigo blue. It goes to very light to very dark. But the blue itself is one specific shade of blue, a specific hue of blue. Now we know that the blue of the indigo needs to be identical to Chilas. That doesn't mean that all shades of Tchilas need to be indigo, but that means that there has to be an overlap. And that there has to be a way that a guy can cheat on Tchilas by putting on indigo. So you know that there needs to be an overlap. But again, it doesn't mean that all Tchilas needs to be the color of indigo exactly. And then we're going to speak about later on in the shiurim, is there a specific hue of color blue that the Tchilas needs to be? That was the third simon that we took out from Chazal. The fourth simon that we took out from Chazal was the fact that the Medrash that speaks how the Chilazim gives dyes of multiple colors. The fifth was the fact that it's a fast dye, it's a strong dye, a particularly strong dye. It was a dye that was used for Malchus. It was an expensive dye, and it was a dye that needed te'ima, that needed to be tested before you dyed with this dye. So now we're going to start with the simanim of the Chilazim. Maybe I could take out the Maram Kaimus we gave it yesterday. So the first sign that we have about the Chilazim, about the actual species of Chilazim, is that this species was caught, it was trapped in Tzur L'Chaifa, Somos Tzur L'Chaifa. This we see from the Gemara in Shabbos, that Nebuzaradon, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the whole Kali Yisrael went out into Golas, but he left behind Choymrim V'Yoygvim. Now, what are these Choymrim V'Yoygvim? So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chof Vav Omer Aleph, says Tonir of Yosef, Elu, that the Choymrim were the Malakti Afarsim and Gedi Bad Rimosa. The Yoygvim, Elu, Saide Chilazin Misulmas Tzur Bad Chaifa. The Yoygvim were the people who used to trap Chilazins from the Sulm of Tzur to Chaifa. So we see that the Chilazin was a species that was trapped being Sulmat Tzur L'Chaifa. That's a simon on the species of the Chilazin. We're looking for a species that was caught being Sulmat Tzur, Tyre, that's in Lebanon, to Chaifa. The next simon that we have is based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek of Zayin, that is a nevua on Tzur, that Tzur was majorly dealt with imports and exports, and used to get all different merchandise from all different countries. So, and the nevua on Tzur was that it was going to fall, it was going to go into a korban, and it's going to lose all its imports. So one of the imports that it speaks about is Tchelez v'argoman me'iye Elisha hoye mechasech, that he used to import Tchelez v'argoman from Iye Elisha. where is Iye Elisha? So the Targum on the Pasuk in Cheskel says Iye Elisha is Italia, it's Italy. The Medrash Rabbah learns that Iye Elisha is not Italy. It doesn't say what Iye Elisha is, but it quotes in the same line, it quotes Italy, and it also quotes Iye Elisha. So you know Iye Elisha is not Italy. So it's very probable that Iye Elisha is referring to the islands of Cyprus, which Cyprus was called Iye's Islands. And Cyprus was called, in the old terminology, Cyprus was called Elishia. So that is very likely to say that that was the same, that Iye Elisha was the islands of Cyprus. So again, so then we have a simen from Chazal that the chilazim was caught, was trapped, was processed in Iye Elisha, which is either Rome or the islands of Cyprus. The next simen we have on the chilazim is that it was something which was specifically processed by Tzur. Tzur were professional dyers of tchelas, and that we see from Shlomo HaMelech, that Shlomo HaMelech, when he needed tcheles v'argaman for the Beis HaMikdash, so he called upon Chira Melech Tzur to help him to acquire this tcheles, to either to dye it or to send someone to help dye it. So we see that Tzur professed in the dyeing of tcheles. Simon number 12 we have on the chilazim is the Gemara Megillah, the Vav and Aleph. The next ma'amachim on the sheet, it says in the pasuk, in the brachos, in the shvatim, it says svune tmune choel. Svune tmune choel. Tani of Yosef svune zeh chilazim. Svune is the chilazim. So Rashi explains svune means that it's chashuv. But it's in the psikta zutrasa, in the zebracha, it says v'svune tmune chel ze chilazin sheyasafun v'tamun bechel. This is the chilazin which buries itself in the sand. So this is the next simon we have for the chilazin. The chilazin is a species that buries itself inside the sand. So again, just to recap, so far we're looking for the chilazim. It's number one, it's in the Mediterranean. Number two, it was trapped in Haifa Litzur. Number three, it was processed in Iye Elisha. Number four, it's a species that buries itself in the sand. The next simon that we have about the chilazim is that it's from the Midrashim. There's a number of Midrashim that bring down the same Medrash. It's the same Medrash said over in other places, in the Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, and Tehillim, and Shir HaShirim. And that is that the Chilazim is a species that has a shell. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, there's a nace that happened with the clothing of the Yidden, that they grew up, they went out of Mitzrayim, and they had clothing, they were little children there. But as the children grew older, their clothing grew along with them. And the Medrash says, if you turn the page, the Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah, I wrote down over here, says, Omar loy, say olmad min achilazim. You're going to be worried, like, how in the world could such a thing be? So go learn from the chilazim. Shekoz machu gadol, nartikoy gadol imoy. As much as it grows, its nartik, its shell, grows along with it. So we see from here that that the chilazim is a species that has a nartik. The next simon we have on the identity of the chilazim is the Gemara in Shabbos, Ein Heim Aleph. Just want to go back a few pages. I'm sorry, no, front one page. So the Gemara talks about the chilazim. We're talking about Hilchos Shabbos. The Melacha of Tzeda. So the Braisa says, Tun Rabbonon Hatzod Chilazim Vapoitzai Enechai Vela Achas Yehuda Omer Chayev Shtayim She Yehuda Omer Ptzia Bechal Disha. So somebody who traps the Chilazim on Shabbos, somebody goes and traps the Chilazim on Shabbos, according to the Tanakam, he's Chayev one Chatas, he was over one transgression of the Melacha of Tzeda. Yehuda holds he's Chayev two, because he was over Tzeda, he trapped. Trapping is a malacha on Shabbos. And he was over on that malacha. He was also over on Disha because he was Peitzeh. He smashed it open. And that is Chayef for Disha, for extracting the dye. That is the Atoba of the malacha of Disha. So we see from here, the first siman that we see from this braisa is that the chilazim is a creature that has tzed on it. It's something that you trap. So now you'll tell me, but basically everything in the ocean is something that you trap. And that's true. Basically everything in the ocean is something that you trap. But if we're going to understand that the chilazim was a sort of fish or something that came out of the water once in 70 years and that's how they got it, then you wouldn't be chayav on trapping a fish that's lying on the beach. And the other things that it could eliminate, it will eliminate any coral, if you call that a chai, it will eliminate coral. It could possibly eliminate things that don't move, meaning that things that the way they move around is through floating on the ocean, like the Gentina snail that we spoke about the other day, the Herzog snail, that really doesn't really move too much. B'chlal makes some bubbles to move a little bit, but basically the way it moves around is it floats on the water. So there, that you can say that maybe there's no tzed on it because it doesn't move. B'chlal, you just drive your boat over and pick it out of the water. So that's possible, it's possible there's no tzed on it. The next siman is that we see from the Gemara that it's something which is chayav and disha on. That in order to get out the dye, you need to be peitzeah the chilazim. So what does it mean to be peitzeah? So there are two pshatim in what it means to be peitzeah. The Rambam and Rambam says peitzeah. If you look at the Maramakim, we also have that. I think that you have to go back one. Rambam and Rambam writes, Shapziah ki harisuk v'achitoch k'may peitzeah. Egoism. It's a smashing. You have to smash something like you're being peitzeah egoism. That would mean that there's some sort of hard substance that covers the chilazim, which in our case it would just show from the siman before that there was a shell, that there's a shell. So it would mean that you have to crack the shell in order to get to the dye. So again, this is a siman that in order to get to the place to take out the dye from the chilazin, you would need to break the shell. That's the way the Rav Rambam and Rambam learns Disha. Rashi understands Disha as somewhere else. It means to be dosh, to be peitzeah, the actual chilazin itself, to get out the dye, to extract the dye. Look, Rashi says, doichkei biyodav sheyetzei damai. You squeeze it in order to get out its dye. So in that case, that would be, so in other words, so again, we're going with Chazal. That's the way we start off these proofs. We're going according to Chazal. And Mela, we're open to any possible understanding of the meaning of Chazal. That would mean to say for this siman, we would have to follow either the Rav Rambam or Rambam's mahalach of being Peitzea, the shell, or it would need to follow Rashi's mahalach of being peitzeah, the guf achilazim, to squeeze it to get the dye out. Now, even Rashi's mahalach, a person might say, oh, well, Rashi's mahalach basically applies to anything that has dye. You need to squeeze it to get the dye out. But it's not true, because there's basically two families of animal, of dyes, which come from animals in the whole world. Is the murex family, which has around like 15 different types of murexes, and they all give different to the murex. Like we said, that the murex trunculus is the only one that gives the blue dye. All the other ones give a red, a purple red dye because of their high concentration of dibromal indigo. The murex trunculus gives a violet and a blue dye because it has monobromo indigo. That's its main thing, and plain indigo. Again, and the only other family of animal dyes is the insects. There are insects which give red dyes. So there you have, also we're not going to get into it, you have kermes, you have carmine, you have lac. There are insects that give red. So the other family, the insect family, which is, I think there are 10 of those, that give bread, you don't squeeze them at all to get out any dye. The way you get it out is by, they're dead. And you're cooking them to get out the dye after they're dead. So if we were to be talking about, we're trying to find this chilazin, we're trying to find the simen for the chilazin is that it's a species that in order to get the dye out, you don't cook the dye out. You have to, as actual dye inside that you need to squeeze it out to get the dye out. So that is the simen number 15. Simen number 16 is based on a question that the Rishonim asked on the Gemara in Ayin Hem and Aleph. The Gemara asked, why aren't you chayav for Sheikhet? Because in order to get the dye out, you need to kill the animal. So the Gemara gives an answer why there's no shechita on actually killing the chilazim when you get the dye out. But the Rishonim asked, why isn't there shechita on getting the dye out, the dam chilazim out? Why isn't there shechita the same way when somebody pricks their finger in order to take blood out of their hand? So they're chayav mishum shechet. So why aren't they also chayav mishum shechet by drawing out the dam from the chilazim? It's a kasha to the Rishonim. The Rishonim give two answers to their question. There's one answer that Tosfos gives. The Re asks to Rabbeinu Tam. If you look at Tosfos in two places, in Ayin Hem and Aleph and in Suvos, Tam Beis is quoted. You see it's underlined. Kosher Re, the Mekol Mokrim al Netilas Dam L'Chayim Mishum Netilas Neshama. By taking the dam, the blood, out of the chilazim, why aren't you chayev for shechita, for netilas neshama? Beheshev le Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam responded to him, the dam chilazim haroi letzvia mishkad pocket, because the blood of the chilazim, which is what's roi for tzvia, is mishkad pocket. It's in its own sack. It's in a separate section. It's in its own sack, and that's why it's not its life blood. So therefore, you're not chayev for shechita and for taking out this dam chilazim. Now, remember when I said in the first year, when I learned this the first time when I was still anti-tfilis, and I was learning ktubis, so I understood this as a darah pasha, that Rabbeinu Tam was saying this as a mikpeach idea, probably because he doesn't say yesh leimer. Usually when Tosfos makes an akimta, he says yesh leimer. So I assume that he was saying it mitar sidiya. That's why I emailed Shalom Shalom Deutsch to find out if it's true. But you could say, it's still possible to say that Tosfos is making a kimta. How would he know? It's a pretty strange kimta to say. But a punkt, the dam is mishka pocket. But it's possible. The other answer the Rishonim gave, evidently the Rishonim did not like to say in the kimta, unless they knew for a fact it wasn't true. But as far as we know, none of the Rishonim didn't see the chilazin itself. So it would be very mistaken to say that they had a kash and they heard Tosfos' teretz, possibly. They probably held that it was in a kimta. Go ahead and say it. So they gave a different reason. These Rishonim gave a reason that the chilazin is gufoi is atum. That means the lumdus goes like this. There are two types of shechitas. There's shechita of killing the animal totally, and then there's shechita of netzilas neshama by taking dam out. There are two types. We'll call it a local shechita, a local netzilas neshama, and a general netzilas neshama. So if you look in the Rishonim say that if it's a being, a animal, or a person, which is a balei varim, that has different limbs, so he has different pratim, he has different parts of his body. So therefore, taking dam out of a specific part would also constitute a specific netilas neshama. If the animal doesn't have any limbs, doesn't have a varim, doesn't have hands and feet, so the netilas neshama could only be the general netilas neshama of killing the entire thing. There's no such thing as taking a little bit of blood out of an animal which doesn't have particular separate limbs. So again, an animal which has protein, has a varim, has limbs, So this shayach a protistika shchita. It could take your dam, the frat, and take a little bit out of its life away. Whereas if you have an animal which doesn't have evarim, doesn't have limbs, so then the only possibility is to do a general shchita on the whole animal. So that's called gufay atum. So in other words, this chilazin is a species which its guf, its body, is something which doesn't have any limbs, no hands and feet. So if we want to use this as a simen, so the simen for the chilazin is going to be something which either has its dye, its mifkat pocket has a separate dye sac like tesis, or it's going to be like the Rishayim, which say that it's gufay is atum, it's a species which doesn't have any evarim, doesn't have any hands or feet, doesn't have any limbs. Or it could be both. It could be both mifkat pocket and gufay atum. And the Rishayim understood what a chilazin was, meaning it could be that they didn't lose the knowledge of what is a chilazin. Keep in mind, it was only a few generations back that they had the chilazin. However, they definitely didn't have it in their hands, so it could be they didn't know the anatomy of it to know if it was mifkar paket or not. So they weren't nachas to say in ukimta. They weren't ready to say that, oh, it's because it has a separate dissect. However, either one is valid for the proofs that we're going with, because again, we're going with Maamar Chazal in any way that you can understand them. Siman number 17 is the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says that when a person, in order to get the dye out of the chilazin, it's going to die. It can't live, and you get the dye out. The actual pitzia will kill it. So again, this would eliminate the kermes or any type of dye, which anything that needs to, that you could die when they're dead. And it would also, it might eliminate, I don't really know, I never studied the cuttlefish per se, but I know that the cuttlefish releases its ink when it's alive as a defense mechanism, so I don't know why you would need to kill it to get at the ink when it's still alive. I don't know. But if leads here, it would be eliminating any creature which you can't keep it alive at the same time get the dye out. However, the Gemara says next, which is the next simon, that they try to keep the creature alive as much as you can in order that it shouldn't die, that the dye shouldn't get ruined. So again, we'll quote the Lashon of the Gemara. The Lashon of the Gemara says, "The kama de isbe neshama tvei nechale, ki heche de leitzel tzive." In order for the dye to be a good dye, a good clear dye, that the dye should go well, should be a good dye, you need to get it out as soon as you can. I mean, try to keep it as alive as you can. So that's our next simon. The next simon is that when it's alive, as much as it's alive more, the dye is better. Meaning that the once the animal dies, then the dye will deteriorate. Simon number 19 is a Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah and Parashat Mikates. It says, "Kechu mizimras ha'aretz b'chleichem." Rabbi Yeshua, the Sachem Mishen, Rabbi Levi, says, "Dvarim shehin mezamrin ba'olam." And one of the lists, it lists a few items. And the thing on the list, it says, chilazin. Chilazin is called mizimras ha'aretz, that when Yaakov Avinu told the brothers to bring to Yosef mizimras ha'aretz, so he told him to bring the chilazin. That's going to be zimras aretz, because it's something that the olam is mezamrin alav. It's something that people praise. So again, we're looking for a species of animals which is a praised species. But now we come to the next simon, is the Braisa in Menachis Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Braisa goes like this. Tana Rabbanan. Chilazayn zehu gufoy doime layem. Ubriyasay doime ladag. Va'ila echod l'shivim shana. This chilazin zeh, gufoy doim el yam, its body is similar to the sea, ubriyasay doim el ladag, and its form is the form of a fish, ve'ayla echa l'shivim shana, and it comes up every 70 years, ubedamay tzayvin tcheles. And it, from its blood, you die tcheles. The vigas dam vikar. So it says four tchunas, four characteristics of the chilazin. Again, on its body, on its form, on the fact that it comes up once every 70 years, and the fact that it dies, you die with it tcheles. Evidently, we're not talking about telling somebody what you use to die tchelis, then midami tzevim tchelis wouldn't be one of the four. The Gemara, this is a braisa, which is describing to us the chilazin. Description of the chilazin. Pashtus, it's an agadita form. It's in the middle of an amr of agadita. And also the lashon of chilazin zeh is a lashon of agadita. We find a similar lashon by Shamir zeh. But this is a braisa which is describing to us the chilazin. So let's go through the characteristics. The first characteristic is gufoy doime layam. Its body is similar to the ocean. So what does it mean that its body is similar to the ocean? So I asked somebody random, somebody, Mesiach Bitumai, they saw this braisa. What would they say that's similar to the ocean? So they told me that if it would have waves on it, like the base of Mikdash of the Hordes, that is Galay Ayam, that is Deima Tiriyam, that's to him that would be Deima Liyam. It's valid. I heard that Rav Yitzchak Herzog wanted to take that approach to Deima Liyam. Another approach, again, we're dealing with the Maamar Chazal and we're leaving it, we're trying to keep it as open as we can to understanding what could possibly Chazal possibly mean. So number two, it could be daime to the yam, with the ocean, the water of the ocean. When you look at the ocean, so daime to the, what color is the ocean, the water of the ocean? So if you look at the ocean, then the ocean ranges from deep blue to green. It goes towards the middle. The deeper you go in the ocean, it's deeper blue. The closer you get to the shore, it's green. It has to do with the fact that the light, the blue comes from the fact that the light penetrates the water, but only the longer wavelengths go in more, whereas the shorter wavelengths, like blue, get reflected. So as you get closer to the shore, so there's less room for the light to penetrate, so maybe more light gets reflected. So again, so it could range anywhere from blue to green. So yeah, so according to that, it's possible to understand Daim Eliyam means anything between blue and green. If there would be a color, Daim Eliyam means, Gubi Daim Eliyam means that the color of the chilazin is similar to the yam. That means that the color of the chilazin is blue or green, or anything in between. Another explanation of Daim Eliyam means, it doesn't mean the ocean, the full ocean, it means the karka hayam. That the bottom of the sea is daimed to the bottom of the sea. And we have a makar for such a thing. The Adarabba, it seems like that's the ikar shimush of the word yam. Number one from the Ramban, right in the beginning of Bereshis, he speaks about that, he says that Kodesh Baruch Hu was kaira lemikva hamayim yamin. So it says, Lefisha Karka Hamikva Nikra Yam. The name Yam, the Karka of the Mikvah, that's what's called Yam. Kidachsiv Kamayim La Yom Mechasim. like it says in the pasuk, Mayim covers over the yam. So the water in the ocean is called water, Mayim, and the yam is the guf of the yam. Rabbeinu Bachaye says a similar thing, same thing. He says, "Lumikveh Mayim kara yamim, ein shem hayam nikra al hamayim." The name yam was not called on the water. Kiyem al hachafira, on the body. That's what the yam is. The Shari Oira, in the Shari Aleph, when he talks about Midas HaMalchus, so one of the kinuyim for Midas HaMalchus is yam. So he says, the Lashon Yam, hu akarka hamachzik es hamayim. The Lashon Yam goes on the karka which holds the water. Ka'amrai ukamayim la yamachasim, va'aymer lemikva hamayim kara yamim, haray beis kibul hamayim nikra yam. So the first simon that we have from the Braisa is that it's doim el yam. It's guf is doim el yam. So it could be one either that its body is guf is doim el yam, that it has waves like the yam, or you could say that mara guf is the tseva, the color of it is doim el yam, that's either blue or green, or you could say that it's doim el yam, that it blends in with the bottom of the ocean, keeping in mind that the mokim. It's a very important point to keep in mind. If you're looking for the chilazin, if you're learning this term for looking for the chilazin is something which is self and v'tom b'chol. It's something which exists at the bottom of the ocean. That's where it stays. So if you want to say that it blends in with anything, you're going to have to say that it's mara hayam, because it blends in with the yam. Then you have to say that it blends in with the bottom of the ocean. Right? If it was something that floats on top of the ocean, or somewhere in the middle of the ocean, then daim el yam, if it blends into the yam, would mean to the mayim yam. Or it could mean that it's doimet to the yam, it's doimet to the guf hayam. It's doimet to the karka hayam. So those are the possible explanations for guf doimet to the yam. So the simin of Chazal would be anything that could go in this category. B'yosai doimet ledag. So what does it mean, b'yosai doimet ledag? So Rashi says, tavnis diyuknoi doimet ledag. It's form is the form of a dag. So what does it mean, the form of a dag? We're talking about an animal which has a shell. Right? That's what we saw from the Braisa. It's an animal. The animals that have shells live in their shells. That's their home. So, and also we learned that the chilazin is gufei atom. I mean, it doesn't have any limbs. So there's no form. It's one shtick. It's one piece. So what does it mean that it's guf is doim el yam? So elamai behechrech. Since it lives inside of a shell and it's gufa is atom anyways, so the option that we have is that the shell is a chelik of its guf. That's called, the whole entity is called the chilazin, and the shell would be what daime, it has tavnis diuknoi. Its form is a form of a dag. And the third sim is oila achas mishim shana. So what does it mean oila achas mishim shana? So we don't know of any creature. Yeah, we're not talking about something supernatural over here. Unless you want to go with the Radvaz. The Radvaz learns that this is a supernatural. I shouldn't say the Radvaz. People use the Radvaz to say that maybe this was a supernatural occurrence that came up once every 70 years. The Radvaz really says that he's talking about that the chilazin is oila al chalkei shel zvulun. He doesn't talk about anything about 70 years over there. But some people want to use the Radvaz to say that it was a supernatural occurrence, just like I may use it as a springboard. They use the same way there's a supernatural occurrence as Eila Achal Kishon Zvulun, there's also a supernatural occurrence that came once every 70 years. But in all practical, natural environments, we don't find anything that came up ever once in 70 years. So unless we're going to go ahead and unless you say that it does come up in 70 years, we don't know anything. So maybe if you sit there for 70 years, maybe you'll see it come up. Or maybe there is some sort of natural occurrence that happens. Now, to say once in 70 years, it's very brought down by other achrenim, and everybody who I've spoken to about this, they all say that once in 70 years doesn't mean literally once in 70 years. It means once in a long time. Or once in 70 years. So once in 70 years is a mashal for the life of a person. Chai Adam is Shivim Shana, which is something that we see in the Maral many times. I think at least 5 times with the morale correlates every time when it comes up 70 years, you still two because that's the Chaye Odom, 70 years. So it could mean 170 years means once in a lifetime, meaning once in a blue moon.
Rashi.
What? Right. It's an interesting point that the Rambam, when he seems to bring down this Braisa, the Siman of this Braisa, he brings down everything in the Braisa. It would seem like he brings down everything in the Braisa. He speaks about Einei Ke'ein Hayam. He says, he brings down Vuhudag, which seems to correlate that Briyasa Daim Ledag. It doesn't mean Vuhudag, and if that's true, then Vuhudag doesn't mean that it means it's a fish, because then Briyasa Daim Ledag, you wouldn't say Briyasa Daim Ledag, you would say it's a dag. So he says Vuhudag, and he says, but by Oila Achas Mishim Shana, all he says over there is Uvayam HaMelech Umatzai. So it means to say is that he seems to be learning that it doesn't come up. So Yam HaMelech is a way of saying the salty sea. It's not the Yam HaMelech that we call the Yam HaMelech. The Rambam calls the Yam HaMelech. The Yam HaGadol is the Yam HaMelech, because that's opposed to the Kinneret, with the freshwater Yam. So the Rambam seems to learn that nowadays, that's not a sin, that's not something that happens. Either it doesn't happen nowadays, or he held that it was a guzma and it never really happened. I don't know what to say, but it's not something that happened. However, if we're going to be able to find a creature which comes up once in a lifetime, once in a very blue moon, that'd be a beautiful siman to understand Chazal Kipshuta. Right. So again, I'm going to go through very quickly the siman that we have. So first, let's try to give numbers very, very quickly. Just go through the numbers just to give a little frame of reference, a very small frame of reference, just to what are the chances that we're talking about. So what are the chances of a species punkt being caught, that we would discover that punkt being tzur l'chayfa, someone tzur l'chayfa, punkt we're going to find, bidyuk in that space, we're going to find creatures which give blue dyes. Again, what are the chances? So even just measuring the just the shore of Eretz Yisrael, forget about the rest of the Mediterranean, talking about just the shore of Eretz Yisrael itself, and Egypt going down to Egypt, that itself is for sure the area of Tzur Chaifa is like 1 in 10 at least of the whole span. So even if we're not dealing with anything outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's already 1 in 10. But I think it's ridiculous because the odds of it happening is like a hole in one in Gulf. You know, punks finding right in that spot where they said that they died, like bidyuk finding it. But I'm just for the records, I'm just gonna water it down as much as I can, and we'll call it. In that case, it's 1 in 10. At least just in Eretz Yisrael, it's 1 in 10. So we're gonna take around the areas of the Mediterranean itself, the vast Mediterranean. So it'll be much more. We'll call it. But there are other places in the Mediterranean where they have found it. But in specific locations, which we're going to talk about another couple soon. So we'll give it a number, 1 in 30. Even though it's a very, very big understatement. We'll call it that. The Lagabe Iye Elisha, we spoke about, to find a chance that they also found in Iye Elisha, which is in Cyprus or Rome, what are the chances of that happening? We'll put down another 1 in 20, and imagine finding in both places, Cyprus and Rome. I wonder if it goes under the gather of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So processed by Tzur, punkt finding a dye that was processed specifically by Tzur, and we don't know of any other ones, you know, that are processed by Tzur, what we have, but something having been specifically processed by Tzur that we don't know about, that wasn't recorded. Also, what?
We're finding something that we know was processed by Tzur, but then it wasn't recorded.
So.
Yeah,
the good point. How are we going to find it? It's basically finding a dye. What are the chances of there have been another dye that's specifically processed by Tzur that we don't know about?
The pasuk said they imported it to Tzur.
Oh, so good question. Why would they import it? Why would the if, on the one hand, they made it, they fetched it in the ocean sea, so why did they import it? So I'm saying, what are you going to do with this, with the evidence here in the between the Gemara and the Pasuk? So the answer is, Pashtus, either they needed more, or, like we said before, there could be a species, maybe Gizin even as a simon, that the difference, that this is a species of Chilazin, which in different parts of the world give different colors. So therefore, the colors, like we spoke about by the Murex, that the Murex is in parts of the, different parts of the Mediterranean, all give different colors. I mean, they're all in the blue-violet area, but some give more violet, some give more blue. So they would import it from Elisha if they wanted a different color, a different shade. They could have imported it. You know, we do find in America, you know, they may have car companies in America, companies that make cars, yet they import from Japan also. You know, why they import from Japan? They're making their own cars. Because they're different qualities, different civilizations, so they're different use. Fine. So, next we have, what are the chances of this species being burying itself in the sand? So in other words, you're basically eliminating everything in the Mediterranean Ocean except that lives on the ground. It has to live on the bottom of the sand. Fish aren't going to bury itself in the sand. So it's going to be something, and even let's say we're going to talk about snails, there are different snails that float on the top, that's the way they live. Like a Janthina snail is never going to bury itself in the bottom of the sand, it's too light, it can't go under the water like that. So we're limiting ourselves to a very specific category of animals that bury itself in, that live on the bottom of the ocean that also bury itself in the sand. Because again, we're narrowing it down pretty small. So again, so we'll give that, again, just to water it down many, many, many times, we're going to give it like 1 in 20. How many, now there's going to be overlap over here, because what lives on the ocean floor, you're going to find things which have shells, more than you're going to find things that swim in the ocean. So again, so we're going to, so say something that lives on the bottom shore that also has a shell, so we'll give that a 1 in 2. So something that has Seida, we're not even going to count it, we'll count that as a 1 for 1, because basically almost everything in the ocean has Seida, except for, yeah, there's a couple of very limited ones. The fact that Disha, that it's something that you need to break the shell in order to get to the dye, or you need to squeeze it out and it's not going to get out through cooking or something like that. So also it's also hard to know, but we'll just give it a very, very small number, we'll give it 1 in 5. So the fact that we have a species which there's no shlita mina, it's either mifkei pasuk, either has its own dissect or it's gufei atom. So again, once we say gufei atom, again it's going to overlap with the other ones. If we're going to go with separate dissect, then it's going to be like 1 in 100. I mean, how many have a separate dissect? I mean, the cuttlefish does also have a separate dissect, I think. I mean, you can't call it a dye sack, it's not dye, but a separate sack. So that would be actually a very high percent, very big number, a very low chance of having such a thing. However, gufei atom is a relatively higher chance once we're really dealing with things on the ocean floor. So somebody could find that thing, so we're going to need also 1 in 5, maybe even smaller, 1 in 3. Fine. Something that dies on extraction, when you break it open, so it dies automatically, that you can't get it out. I mean, again, you're trying to keep it alive, but you can't keep it alive because you need the dying, taking out the dye means killing it. So it's also a specific method, it's a specific tchuna, a specific characteristic of the animal in order that you want it to stay alive, but I can't keep it alive because it's going to die to take out it's going to die when I take out the dye. So again, so we'll keep it modest and give it 1 in 5. Again, this is not scientific. This is purely to touch to get a frame of reference and to get in touch with your common sense. So again, we're going to add it up at the end. Fine. Again, it's a dye which, when it's alive, as long as when it dies, the dye gets worse. Also, a very specific type of tuna. It's in our imagination because, again, we don't know of any other animals besides the murex snails, the chlal, that have a dye at all that you use when it's alive. They take care when it's alive. But to say that something that you use when it's that you need it to be alive is something which is a very, it seems to be a unique characteristic. Yeah, we'll give it another, we'll give that a 1 in 10. Something that was praised, something that the Ummus Ha'ilam in their time was mishabeach this creature. Again, there's going to be overlap from the fact that it's expensive and it's used for malchus, the things that we spoke about before. However, but to praise the chilaz in itself, that is something which you could say has a unique ratio, a unique characteristic. They're mishabeach the thing itself, the chilaz in itself. But again, since it's not muchas to say that the shvach was on the snail itself, so then we're just going to go with the overlap of the previous ones, and maybe we'll give it a, we find, to find the hedya that was praised, we'll give it a 1 and 2. The braisa of gufay deim layam, so again, that's either that it has waves on its body, or that its coloring is blue or green. That's 2. Or deim to the karkayam. 3. So one of those tchunis. So again, I don't know how common, from what I've seen, I tried to research the different marine creatures which are blue or green, and there seems to be not a lot at all. Very few creatures which are blue or green. There are, but not in common. And I wonder from the ones that live on the bottom of the ocean, we'll get to that. But so that, or it's something that which is similar to the kakaya. So again, we'll give it a modest number. I'll say we'll go 1 in 5. And b'yasei deim ledag, to have a shape of a shell, again, that's exactly the same shape of a fish. So I did research on that too. I got a hold of like a listing of like pictures of marine snails, hundreds of snails, which I'm gonna show. You'll see when we get to the murexes, a couple of hundred, I think there's a couple of hundred shell shapes. And I think Sacha Kol was like 1 in 50. It was not machal, I just took everything that I could get my hands on, every picture that I could get my hands on. And I think from what I counted, it was like, you know, more than 1 in 50, but probably more than 100. But, you know, that you could squeeze in, like, okay, this shell looks like a fish. So it was like 1 in 50 that I was able to squeeze it in. So, but since maybe I went to the wrong place to get the wrong pictures, and maybe there are pictures somewhere else which I missed. So we'll give it a 1 in 25. And Oila to find a creature which naturally comes up once in a very blue moon is going to be a far shot. But since the Pashtus, we don't see anything coming up once in 70 years, and either you can say Asashkachla, something which only came up by Bechorim Beis Hamikdash, or maybe we'll see later in the Mirax, maybe we'll see that it's like, it's true. But in time, we'll leave it open, not part of the cheshbon, because if you're going to go ahead and say, like the Rambam, it seems to say that at least nowadays it's not Ayla, then you're left with 0, because it's not Ayla nowadays. So just to get the figure of what we're talking about, so now see what are the chances. Sachakol, what are the chances of this creature of finding, again, what are the chances of finding a new creature in the Mediterranean that has all these simanim, these 22 simanim that we just spoke about? So we're going to do the math based on our very modest numbers that we picked. Have our number. It's basically, it's 1 to the 20th power. That means 1 over 1 to the 20th power. That means there's a chance of 1 in a 1 with 20 zeros after it. It means trillion, 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 trillion. Did we beat out the number of 1 in 20,000? I think we did it out by a long shot. So in other words, I think that we can say that we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, with conclusive as conclusive can get, that we will never find a chilazin randomly, that you pull one up and well, it matches with the siman that Chazal give at random. So if we're going to go ahead and say that we have found something which matches these things, there's only one option. We're never going to say as one in one over one to 20th power. We're going to say that yes, Chazal knew exactly what they're talking about, and yes, this matches exactly because this is it. So again, now we're going to go on to the Murex. But before we do, let's just rattle through again the 22 simanim. Everybody, I made copies for everybody, just to keep for yourself. What are the 22 simanim of Chazal? So again, we're looking, what's our shopping list for the chilazin? Our shopping list for the chilazin is, number one, a species which is found in the Mediterranean, which gives a blue dye, which has an overlap identical to indigo, which gives multiple colors, which is a fast dye, a particularly strong dye, which was used for royalty, which was very expensive, which required te'ima in order to dye with it, which was caught being Tzolmatzol Haifa, which was also caught by E. Elisha, which could either be Cyprus or Rome, which was processed by Tzor, particularly professionally, and buries itself in the sand, which has a shell, which is something that you're tzayed it, and the way you pick out the dye from this chilazin is you smash it open or you squeeze the juice out or both, and there has its the dye vein. It has a separate dye vein. The dam that's used for dye is mifkar pocket in its own sack, or that its guf is atom. It's something which doesn't have any evarim, which is one shtick guf, one body. And it's something that when you break it open and you take it out the dye, it dies on the extraction of the dye. And it's something that when it's alive, as long as it's alive, it's better, because when it dies, the dye deteriorates. And it's something which was praised by the Ummah Sa'ilam. Its body is similar to the ocean either, like the way it's similar to waves. It's a color of the sea, either blue to green. It blends in at the bottom of the sea, any one of these three. And that Briyasa is daimel adag, it's similar to a fish. And it's Ayla, and that the shell of it has a form of a fish. And it comes up once every 7 years, or it doesn't come up once every 7 years. Just as an aside, on the Daimel Yam, I heard this being said over that because the Gemara before says that the color of Tchela says Daimel Yam, Yam Daimel Rakia, and that's talking about the water of the ocean, because it's talking blue, so Mela, the Daimel Yam over here also means the water of the ocean. So if it means blue or whatever, or green, but Lafuke, the bottom of the ocean, which I think the Pasha tells us, we find many words. First of all, the two members have nothing to do with each other. The two different members, well, said in two different times, two different Batei Midrashim, the fact that they happen to be in half an amid away from each other doesn't mean anything. And we find many words which have double meanings. You're not going to say that if you find one line, you see it's talking about Shemayim, referring to Malachim that are in the Shemayim, and the next line, yeah, it's talking about Shemayim with the Kechavim, the stars. And you're going to say that, oh, it must be that either there are stars where the Malachim are, or there are Malachim where the stars are. The two different Shemayim. You find words by Ruach also. Ruach is a word that, you know, you use it for force, you use it for spirit, you use it for wind. So, in the fact that you can have one word that's used in two different contexts, of course, it's not a question. I don't understand so much the time as well. But for these, B'kitcha Maisa, these are the Simona of the Chilazim. So now let's move on to the Murex. So here we're going to go, let's give out the next 8 minutes.